How has the medical field progressed to identify child abuse?
I think that that's a great question, and I think it has varied to some degree state by state. In some places in the country, they have had child abuse recognition now as part of their medical school curriculum for decades. Here in Kentucky, we have only just in about the last 6 or 7 years ensured that every medical student, at least at the University of Louisville, receives training about child abuse recognition. There are more continuing education offerings out there about child abuse recognition and reporting. And then I think just having the board certification and the recognition that this is a complex field and that we do need people to specialize in it has raised awareness among pediatricians and other medical providers that this is important, it happens a lot, and there are resources to help you identify and sort through what might be going on with a patient.
One part of this report that was published in reflection of the 50 years since the original publication, if I could just read this for you, approximately 78% of cases were substantiated as neglect, with only 18% as being physical abuse. Is there a difference between neglect and abuse? I feel like people may not respond to neglect the same that they would respond to physical abuse.
Yes, there is certainly a difference. They are both two different kinds of child maltreatment, so they fall under the child maltreatment umbrella. I think in our communities, the folks who are the best at identifying neglect and calling that into CPS is our schools and our teachers, because they see the children every single day, and they oftentimes are the ones that are sensitive enough to recognize those signs.
I think you're absolutely correct in that it's not every day that a child goes into a physician's office, but it hopefully is every day that they step into a schoolroom.
That's exactly right.
One part of this study did mention noticing the difference between maybe how a patient comes in, a child comes into the office and presents their history versus what the physical signs tell the physician. Has there been progress on that aspect?
Absolutely. And I think a lot of it is just a matter of sharing case examples and helping folks understand. I mean, for example, it seems, I think, intuitively reasonable to us that if a child fell down a flight of stairs, that they would have multiple bruises. It turns out, though, that when you do the studies, that's not the case. Typically, a child will come out of it with no injuries at all, and if they have any visible injuries, it tends to just be one or two bruises. So by doing the rigid scientific analysis of these things that we need to understand, we're learning what really is reasonable from a certain event and what is not reasonable injury from a certain event. And we're doing our best to disseminate that information to the people who are on the front lines making those judgments.
Person who's not a physician or not in the medical field comes across a child, is there any advice for them about identifying maybe somebody who, a child who's been abused, or how they should move forward? Considering that there's only two or three of you physicians out there doing this, it really seems like it's kind of up to the general public.
Yes, that's true to a large degree. Some tips that I often offer regarding recognition of abuse is a bruising rule, and it's called the 10-4 rule. 10 is spelled T-E-N, and the T stands for torso, E is ears, and N is neck. So any bruising of the torso, ears, or neck in a child under 4 years of age, so that's the 4 part of the rule, or any bruising anywhere in a child 4 months of age or younger. So that 10-4 rule is something that we can carry with us and keep in mind, so that should we see injury on children out in our, you know, our general day-to-day lives, we have some way to distinguish normal bruising from not normal bruising. And then calling that case into social services or law enforcement is not only the right thing to do, but also the legally required thing to do.
How do you identify a normal bruise from an abusive bruise? You may hear often, oh, I just fell, and that fall really is not, may not be a fall, but I would think that some people would be a little apprehensive or a little nervous about notifying somebody.
You're exactly right. It can be very tricky and very difficult to distinguish between the two for folks who don't have special training in this. And that is why the way the law is written and the way that we recommend folks approach this is that calling CPS because you have a concern is not the same thing as saying that you're certain a child is being abused. If you're waiting until you're certain, you're waiting too long and we're going to miss children who have been abused.
Well, again, I really appreciate your time and speaking with us about this issue. 50 years, you can make a lot of progress, but it seems like there's still some work that needs to be done.
Absolutely.